But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. Boy, wouldn't it be good if that could be said of every church in America? Amen. I mean, what a description of the local New Testament church. What is the church supposed to be? The pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Heavenly Father, thank you, dear God, for the Bible. Thank you for the help that it is to us. And Lord, we're going to get into the scriptures this morning. Lord, put before the people a phrase, we want to give it a good Bible definition. And so, Lord, I pray that going forward, we'll all understand, I'll be on the same page when we are thinking about what is old-time religion. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I typed it out because I will tell you, one of the things about writing, and I was talking to a man the other day that called me and was wanting to get into writing, a preacher that I think would do a good job. And I told him some of the benefits of writing. And sometimes, folks, I don't know about you, but when I'm trying to formulate in my mind my belief system or what I believe about something, you know, it's good sometimes to just type it out or write it out on a piece of paper and then look at it and say, is that right? Writing, I think, solidifies some things in your mind. When you write something down, you have to be exact in your wording and exact in the meanings of the word. And so I played around with this for some time. But when we talk about this year, what is old-time religion, once I got it kind of worded the way I wanted to, and I think what I wanted to represent for us this year, I went ahead and printed it out on a piece of cardstock. I'm going to put this on the bulletin board. We'll just leave it up all year. And that way, if anybody wanders in and sees our theme and says, well, what are they talking about, old-time religion? You know, are we going to go back to horse and buggy? Is that old-time religion? You know, what does it mean? Well, this is what it means to me. This is what it means, I think, to most of us that when we mention old-time religion. Old-time religion is Bible Christianity, period. How about that? Just to put a concise definition. What are you talking about? I'm talking about Bible Christianity. Then I said this. It is propagated by churches and people who desire to bring glory to a holy God by preaching and teaching the Holy Scriptures while striving to live holy lives as we carry out a great sacred and holy commission. Now, folks, I've used that word holy a lot on purpose. Because I think one of the earmarks of old-time religion, one of the things that we are talking about when we talk about old-time religion is, let's get back to the Holy Scriptures. Let's be reminded that we serve a holy God, and we're to bring him glory and honor. Let's strive to live holy lives. And by the way, as we carry out a great and sacred and holy commission, because we've been commissioned to do something. Not to just live holy lives, but to then go on a holy mission, a sacred commission, a great commission. And that is, of course, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So I want to talk to you about that, young people. I'm glad the fifth and sixth graders are in here. I want you to get some things in your heart. I want you to understand what old-time religion is. Old-time religion isn't just for people that lived 200 years ago. Old-time religion is for a new generation. Old-time religion should be embraced by the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. Amen. And I'm excited because it's wonderful to see that that is happening, not to the extent we'd like to see, but it is happening in the United States of America. So let me break that down, break our definition down, and just talk about some things, all right? Number one, old-time religion points men to a holy God. Points men to a holy God. The word holy, let's define it. The word holy, if you look it up, if you do the word search, look at the definition, you'll find the same thing I do. It means to be set apart. Okay, set apart from something, but not just set apart from something. Well, sometimes we emphasize what we need to be set apart from, but we de-emphasize what we need to be set apart to. And so we want to be set apart from the world. You know, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Wow, pretty emphatic. What happened to Demas? Why was he a casualty? Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And so, yes, we want to be set apart from the world, but set apart from the world, we can, you know, there's people that are moving, come on, to Alaska so that they can escape the world. Okay? There's people that are, you know, homesteading. Some of Americans moving to Costa Rica so they can be set apart from the world. It's not talking about isolation, just isolation from the world. It's not just being separated from the world. It's being set apart unto God. Amen. Unto God. Young people, listen to me. If you're going to be a holy young person, if you're going to be a holy young man or a holy young lady, it means that you're set apart from the world and set apart unto God. And so let's be reminded that God is holy. God is a holy God. Now we believe, boy, going to hit some basic things this morning. We believe in the Trinity. We believe in a triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And by the way, every single one of them are holy. God the Father is holy. 1 Samuel 2:2, there is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Isaiah 57:15, I love this verse. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. John 17:11, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Jesus, when he was praying to God, he used the term Holy Father. And when I read that, studied that, I thought to myself, you know, I don't know if I've ever used that when I'm praying to God. And here Jesus gave me an example. I'm not saying you have to do it every time, but from time to time, wouldn't it be good while we're praying to God the Father just to say his name that way, to say Holy God while we're talking to him? It'd probably be a good reminder for us. But Jesus, when he was praying, he said that I come to thee, Holy Father, keep thou through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Revelation 4:8. Well, we just talked about this. We're in the book of Revelation. We've gone back to chapter 4 several times. We talked about those four beasts. And you know what they do? They are before the presence of the Lord, and they say, Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Now, folks, old-time religion was based in holiness. It was based in the belief that we serve a holy God. And so let's not diminish the holiness of God. Brother, there's so many blasphemous things that are happening right now. Brother James Young sent me an article. Did he send that to you, Brother Roger, about there's a movie being made, and it's a movie about Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is being played by a woman. They basically gender reversed everybody in the story of the Bible. If they were a man, they're a woman. If they're a woman, and they're a man. And he's being portrayed by a woman. Judas Iscariot is being portrayed by a woman. And I read that little article. He sent me a link to it. And I thought, you know, this is something that I could hear somebody saying. I'm thinking, there's no way. You know, there's no way that that's true. Well, he sent me the link, and I read that, and I thought to myself, you know what, folks? America's doing some things right now that I'm afraid would make Sodom and Gomorrah blush. I mean, it's scary what we are willing to do. But folks, God is holy. God is holy. By the way, God the Son is holy. Jesus Christ is holy. Amen. He is holy. Mark chapter 1, there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. For what have we to do with thee? This unclean spirit is crying out of this man, talking to Jesus. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. Isn't it amazing that demons recognize Jesus as being holy, and yet Americans, many Americans, don't see Jesus Christ in that light. So God the Father is holy, God the Son is holy, and folks, you know, God the Spirit is holy also. And all through the Bible, we have references to the Holy Spirit. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. John 20:22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. You know, I understand this. By the way, it's not unscriptural to do it. Sometimes in the Bible, you'll see the Holy Spirit just referred to by just the word Spirit, capital S, Spirit. And but you know, I don't know, in this day and age, I think more and more we need to probably put that descriptive tag on there. When I, you know, you won't hear, come on, you won't hear your rock and roll churches, you won't hear your contemporary Christianity. They always talk about the Spirit, you know. Well, we felt the Spirit last night. Well, the Bible says, try the spirits, where they're of God. There's a lot of spirits out there. And you know what? The Holy Spirit, come on, will encourage men to holiness. Other spirits are going to, you know what, encourage mankind and Christians to worldliness. And so, you know, be careful about just talking about the Holy Spirit or the Spirit all the time. Every once in a while, I get in one of those conversations, I'll say to someone, I'll just kind of stop. Why don't you ever use his first name? And they'll kind of look at me. why don't you ever use his first name? What is it about the word holy that caused so many Christians nowadays to just kind of recoil? Yeah. You know, well, why are we not hearing preaching on the holiness of God? You know why? Because we've gotten away from old-time religion. And one of the earmarks of old-time religion, I'm not even just talking about old Baptist people now. Folks, come on, do a study of the early churches in the United States. Those old Methodists were holy people. Those old Nazarenes lived holy lives. And again, I might have some differences doctrinally here and there, but the one thing we could all agree on back, you know, 150 years ago is that God is holy and we're supposed to be holy. And so now, you know, well, we've got too far away from that. And before I get away from this, you know, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, let me just stop and say this because it needs to be said. God's name is holy. God's name is holy. Boy, America needs to be reminded of that. Leviticus 22, verse 31, therefore shall you keep my commandments and do them. I am the Lord, neither shall you profane my holy name. Neither shall you profane my holy name. Now, he's telling the Israelites, he says, listen, I am the Lord. Don't ever profane my holy name. But I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord which hallowed you. 1 Chronicles 16:10. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Psalms 145:21. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. You know, I know y'all know this, but let's kind of shore this up. Because see, folks, listen, When we are around certain types of sins all the time, it tends to desensitize us. And all of us can kind of just get used to hearing people use God's name in vain, and it really stopped bothering us at some point. We need to be bothered. We need to be bothered. You know, I was picking my truck up I had a little work on it done this week, and I was picking it up, and one of the guys that work in the garage come walking through, and all of a sudden he just used Jesus' name in a blasphemous way. And I called him on it. I think we need to call people on it. Amen. Excuse me? I said, hey, whoa, excuse me? Why are you talking about Jesus, my Savior, like that? Why are you saying his name in a blasphemous way? Boy, the whole place got quiet. You know, I'm getting ready to write him a check. I don't have to go there. Amen. You know, if you want to give people reviews, maybe that's the way we ought to start reviewing them. I'm not going to this place anymore. I'm not going anywhere where they blaspheme my Savior. We need to speak up for the Lord. Come on, think about that. Folks, listen to me. I think we're too quiet. Okay, well, I don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. Well, they're not, they don't care about hurting my feelings. You know, come on, we need to stand up for the Lord. Remember, Exodus 20, verse 7, think about this. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Now listen to what the warning is. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. And yet God's name is taken in vain millions and millions and millions of times every single day in the United States of America. Sadly, and again, we're kind of desensitized to this, but man, a lie. I can remember back when people first began using Jesus' name as a curse word. Folks, that hasn't always happened in America. And people became more bold in their blaspheme. And then now, well, the Holy Spirit, well, certainly they wouldn't blaspheme the Holy Spirit. I mean, Matthew 12, 31, let me read you the warning from Jesus. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Preacher, what does that mean? It means what it says.
Right.
Amen. Why don't we just start reading the Bible and say that right away? That's what it means. And yet, I think some of you remember this, but, you know, I was teaching a series on the holiness of God, and we got talking about, you know, the holiness of God's name, and I talked to you about and told you, and you can, I wouldn't encourage you to, but you can. If you don't believe me, just, you know what, Google it. But there's actually a YouTube channel started by atheists, and they call it the Blaspheme Challenge. And they make a mockery of this verse. And they encourage people that don't believe in God to videotape themselves blaspheming the Holy Spirit of God and posting it. I heard about that. I thought, there's no way that could be true. So I checked to see if it was true. I watched about four or five of them, and I was so brokenhearted, I just quit. And folks, I don't know how many there were, but there was a lot of people that just literally set up a camera or set up their phone and then just gave their name and said, I blaspheme the Holy Spirit of God. And posted. The very last one, what broke my heart, very last one I did it, it was a mother, a young mother. And she says this, and as she's getting ready to do it, I can't remember if she had a little 2 or 3 year old that was beside her or on her lap, but she was kind of wrestling around with the baby a little bit. And she pulls this baby up on her lap, and with her child on her lap, she looks into a camera and blasphemes the Holy Spirit of God. Whew. Well, let's say it again. God's name is holy. And if everybody in the world, everybody in the United States of America, choose to blaspheme God, it doesn't change the fact that his name is holy.
Amen.
And that's a serious thing. So when we're talking about old-time religion, we're talking about old-time religion pointing mankind to a holy God. Well, I got to hurry. Old-time religion points men to a holy Bible. You know, I like having a Bible that says Holy Bible on it. Okay, you know one of the things that they dropped when they start producing translations, it's almost impossible to find an NIV that says Holy Bible on it. Even guys that preach out the King James Version of the Bible but want to say that it's full of error and mistakes, I'll tell them, you know what, why don't you just take a black marker and mark out holy then? Because you don't believe it's holy. Okay, think about that. Folks, this book, wow. How do you know if you're in a church that believes in old-time religion? That you go to that church, you know what it is? It's going to be old-time King James Bible preaching. That's what it's going to be. You're in an old-time religion church, okay? The scriptures are holy. Does the Bible support that? Romans chapter 1 opens up with these verses. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he hath promised before by his prophets in the holy scriptures. I like that. Romans 7, 12. Wherefore, the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. 2 Timothy 3, 15. And that from a child, you guys know this verse. And that from a child thou hast known the, what? Holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Old time religion points people to a holy God. Old time religion always points people to a holy Bible, holy book. Isn't this amazing, folks? This is what it's all about. And, you know, we started out with the year with these all-inclusive truths and three messages where we find the word all things, you know. And what was the very first one? The very first one I wanted to, before, listen, we covered 18 of them. Was the very first one. The Bible is right in all things. And more and more, I'm listening to even good people. I mean, just listen to yourself and be careful, folks. Because it seems like when a Bible preacher brings forth an inarguable biblical precept, that there's people that are always wanting to find loopholes. They're always wanting to explain it away. They're always wanting to figure out why it's not always true in all instances. And I don't want to re-preach that, but boy, it's a good place to get where you just open this Bible and say, it's right. It's true. It's holy. This is what we're going to, listen, well, how do you construct a family? Construct it according to the Bible. Amen. How do you run a business? Run it on biblical precepts. Amen. Okay. How do we build a church? How do we construct a church? How do we organize a church? How about right here? Amen. Let's just stick to the book. Amen. Let's just stick to the book. Old time religion points men to a holy Bible. I'm going to move on. Number three, old time religion points men to a holy life. To a holy life. And boy, this is a good place to kind of start in the beginning month of 2024. Let's be reminded, folks, it's important that we live a holy life. Okay, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Amen. He has. In heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Hebrews 3:1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the divine calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Hebrews 3:1 calls the saved holy brethren. 1 Thessalonians 4:7, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Boy, 1 Thessalonians 4:7, God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. 1 Peter 1, you knew I was going to get here. 1 Peter 1, verse 14 through 16, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy as I am holy. So what does it mean to live a holy life? Well, you have to understand some things. And again, we kind of get down to understanding the parts and how God made us. But folks, you know what? Our bodies are to be holy. We view our bodies differently after we get saved. Our bodies become the temple, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit of God. And the things that the world will do to their bodies, and boy, bless their hearts. I'm not mad at them. I'm even past the point where I even, you know, want to really poke fun of them. I'm just brokenhearted over what I'm seeing people do to their bodies. I mean, I can't seem to go to a restaurant, go anywhere where a young lady don't walk up to me and she's got rings in her nose and tattoos, and you know, say, well, preacher, why wouldn't a Christian, or why shouldn't a Christian do that? Because your body's holy. We view our bodies differently. The body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, comma, what's the next word? Holy, comma, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16 and 17. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. And so, you know, we ought to treat our bodies sacredly. And our hands, our bodies are to be holy. Bible says our hands should be holy. 1 Timothy 2:8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. Think about that. You know, folks, most of the things we do involve our hands. I remember Dad early years when he first started preaching, he used to like to tell this story. He said there was an old-fashioned train, and these men got on this train, and it was one of those where the seats faced each other, and there was a table in between, and there was a man already there, and these other three men came, and they were talking, and one of them pulled out a deck of cards and said, "Hey, how about we gamble a little bit?" The man that was already there had his hands under the table, and he said, they asked him, "Would you like to play cards? Would you like to gamble with us?" And he said, "Well, I would like to, but I don't have any hands." And they said, "Oh, my goodness, okay." Well, they went ahead and started playing their card game, and finally that guy at one point reached up and scratched his cheek, and the next thing you know, he set both hands on the table, and one of the guys said, "Well, what in the world? I thought you said you didn't even have any hands." And he lifted his hands up and said, "Well, these don't belong to me. They belong to the Lord." You know, simple old illustration, but my goodness sakes, wouldn't it just be awesome if every day in 2024 we just said, "God, these are yours. Just these. Just this part of our body. And you know what? I'm going to use them to bring glory and honor to you." The Bible says our affection should be holy. Think about that. And the Bible says our priesthood is holy. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Our conduct should be holy. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Now, we're talking a lot about the word holiness. And folks, I'm not teaching the whole series on it. We did several years ago. We'll do it again, Lord willing, sometime down the road. But if you want to hit a reset button and you feel like God is urging you to that, and preacher, I kind of need that, then you know what? It might be a great word study for 2024. If the Lord leads you to do it, just, you know what? Lord, I'm just going to start in Genesis, and I'll use my concordance, and I'm just going to go all through the Bible. And I tell you, if you do that, you're going to walk away from that study different and changed. Because we are to be set apart unto God. Not just set apart from the world, but set apart unto God. Let me give you the last one. Old-time religion points men to a holy cause. A holy cause. Mark 16:15, here it is. "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Matthew 28, the Great Commission, you all know it. Acts 1:8, how about this? "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." So preacher, when you're talking about this year, you know what? Give me that old-time religion. What are you talking about? Old-time religion is Bible Christianity. It is propagated by churches and people who desire to bring glory to a holy God by preaching and teaching the Holy Scriptures while striving to live holy lives as we carry out a great and sacred and holy commission. Hope that's a help. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, meet with us. Lord, today, thank you for the Sunday school hour. Bless the children. Lord, bless our bus kids in a special way, dear God. I pray, Lord, that they miss us as much as we miss them today. Lord, watch over, dear God, the next hour. Bless us as we gather in this room together. We pray in Jesus' name.